So they accredited two colleges through compromise. And what happened? The floodgates opened up and they all went for it. I want you to see how it happened. Do you see how it happened? Don't let any leader stand up to you today and say our early leaders followed God in getting accreditation. Don't let it happen. Let me go on. Brother Atwood says on page 9, so in the end, even the compromise was turned down. Instead of only accrediting two schools, they voted for all schools to head in the direction of accreditation. Personally, it is hard for me to believe how, after the discussion I read here, such a thing could have taken place. But it did. I believe these men loved the work, but they didn't understand well enough, evidently, all that was involved. Elder McElhaney made a speech in 1937 in which he said, quote, I tell you solemnly that there are forces and influences at work which, if unchecked, will render us just as unprepared for the second coming of Christ as was Israel for his first coming, end quote. Do you agree with that? He was right, wasn't he? Brother Atwood says, I wonder, my friends, when I read about Israel and how they rejected Jesus, their Savior, even though they knew all the prophecies and were Bible students, are we Seventh-day Adventists removed from falling into that problem? Notice his footnote. Number one, notice the footnote at the bottom of the page. He footnotes why the Jews reject Jesus by F.C. Gilbert, who wrote an interesting article in December 1933 issue of Ministry Magazine entitled Why the Jews Rejected Jesus. His careful reasoning shows that it was because of their system of education that they rejected him. We read it. We read it. I want you to have a full background on this subject. Now, Elder Atwood continues and said, could not the same thing happen to you and me today? Could we be found unprepared for the second coming of Jesus? I challenge anyone to read 8 Testimonies 247 and see what God's answer is to found wanting on Early Writings, page 37. The answer is yes. We can be found unprepared for the second coming of Jesus. Found wanting, exactly. Elder McElhaney said in his speech, quote, make no mistake, he said this in 1937 now. We've started out from 1933 up to 1937 discussing accreditation. In 1937, McElhaney said, make no mistake about that. I see these influences at work. The spirit of Sadduceeism. Now, what's Sadduceeism? Do we have Sadduceeism in the Seventh-day Adventist Church? Remember the class of the Jews during the coming of Christ, the Sadducees? Educated aristocracy. And one of the things they did not believe in was the second coming of Christ. They did not believe in the second coming of Christ. Now let's read that with that background. Make no mistake about that, Elder McElhaney said. I see these influences at work. The spirit of Sadduceeism is working like leaven. And I want to lift my voice in earnest entreaty that you may see that the door is closed against all such intrusions. I summon you all to engage in this fight against the spirit of Sadduceeism. My friends, really, I am concerned about the trends and the tendencies. I confess a great anxiety about them, end quote. A Sadducee, Brother Atwood goes on and says, a Sadducee did not believe in a future life. He only lived for the present. Could the people's education have something to do with the present Laodicean condition of the church predicted by Jesus? Elder McElhaney was very concerned about what he saw taking place even in 1937. Doesn't this describe the Laodicean condition, that they live for the present and yet they profess to believe in the second coming of Christ? They really don't believe, do they, by the way they live? A Laodicean is a perfect example of a Sadducee in that regard. Here is what A.W. Spalding was thinking as recently as 1953. We're coming right up to date, aren't we? In a letter he wrote to Brother Dixon of the General Conference, he had become so burdened with the problem that he couldn't sleep at night. He would have liked to have kept silent. Quote, A.W. Spaulding, quote, 1953. 25 years ago in 1928, we came to our educational Kadesh Barnea. The promised land was before us, but the majority of our spies brought back an evil report. We voted for affiliation and accreditation with all that it involved of affinity with the world's education, end quote. From the history of this problem, it is clear enough what the difficulty was. Can you see why in the self-supporting schools we are seeking for the accreditation of heaven? We are not seeking for the accreditation of the men of this earth. And whether or not they ever think we are doing a good work of education, I do not care. I'm not interested in what they think. If God approves, I'm happy. The writer, Wilbur Atwood, received an education in accredited schools. He says, I know by personal experience as well as through the study of history that there has been a mistake in worldly affiliation in education. It is not easy to unlearn some things that education has taught. The following counsel from Ellen White comes to us now in the light of history. This counsel would be difficult to fully understand without historical background, and we've got some historical background in our study now, brothers and sisters. Fundamentals of Christian Education, page 536. But let me tell you that you must not take what the world calls the higher education and bring it into our schools and sanitariums and churches. We need to understand these things. I speak to you definitely, this must not be done, end quote. Is that clear enough in the light of history? We must not take what the world has to offer and bring it into our schools. Six Testimonies, 146, 147. We are not to elevate our standard just a little above the world's standard, but we are to make the distinction decidedly apparent, end quote. It is not good enough to do what the world is doing. God's plan for his people is that we do something totally different, something 10 times better than what is being done. Six Testimonies, page 146, 147, quote, the reason we have had so little influence upon unbelieving relatives and associates is that there has been so little decided difference between our practices and those of the world, end quote. Six Testimonies, 130, there is no time now to fill the mind with theories of what is popularly called higher education. The time devoted to that which does not tend to assimilate the soul to the likeness of Christ is so much time lost for eternity. End quote. What a sad thing it would be if in seeking the wisdom of the world we should lose our eternal life. Counsels to Parents, Teachers, and Students, page 415. Quote, many are better prepared, have more spiritual discrimination and knowledge of God, and know more of his requirements when they entered upon their course of study than when they are graduated. End quote. Thus saith the Lord. What a shame it would be if a student came to my school stronger spiritually than when he went away. What did the seminary report say in 1981? 50% were leaving weaker. How could I consider that I had done my work as a Christian educator, Brother Atwood says, if this were to happen? Continuing on, Brother Atwood says, I want to remind you again that I hope as you consider this matter, you will take it in the spirit in which it is given. I love my church, I love her people and her leaders. But unless, as a Christian people, we understand this issue, all the spirit of dedication, all the spirit of wanting to do right will not keep us from taking a wrong course, unaware of what is happening. God has placed a burden upon my heart to help us understand the issues that were involved in our history so that we can begin looking again at the credentials of heaven. Footnote TM, page 17 there. At the diploma that God gives. Footnote 7 Testimonies, 281 there. The diploma that God gives to men and women who will follow his plan of true education. Well, brothers and sisters, that concludes our study on on education. It concludes our study on Jeremiah 36 and the changes in Ellen G. White's writings. I just want to say this in conclusion. I want to say this. There will be some who say, if you try to share it with them, oh, it was just your idea. This was just your idea. I want to read through you a list to you of the ideas that we gleaned here. Do you remember Professor Bell? Early on, we talked about him. You remember his ideas and his stand against worldly education and the degrees, the persecution he got? Has this satanic spell not yet lost its power? Or has it lost its power, as the leaders would have you to believe, the compilers of the 1948 Fifth Testimony? It has not yet lost its power. How about the Ellen White estate itself, their own testimony and self-admission and self-condemnation in the historical foreword of Testimonies to Ministers, Roman number 18 and 19. You remember that? Where they held forth McLaren, and that those who stood with McLaren were opposed to the spirit of prophecy councils, and others stood against McLaren with the spirit of prophecy. Therefore, by their own self-admission, where do they stand today? Against the spirit of prophecy councils, don't they? I want you to consider the testimony of E.A. Sutherland, of Prescott, the General Conference Educational Secretary, of Elder Howell, the Educational Secretary of the General Conference in 1923. These are some of the men that we looked at. My ideas? No, brothers and sisters. Your ideas? No. Historical Adventism. Take a look at Branson when he issued his Branson Report in 1935 against accreditation, but compromise. Take a look at W.A. Nelson, at Elder Watson, president of the General Conference, after 4 years of accreditation, who was willing to give our medical work away if it sought after accreditation. Take a look at Elder Rutsker, Elder McElhaney, Elder Wilcox, President Anderson, Elder Rice, Elder Votaw, Elder Piper, A.W. Spaulding. Take a look at Wilbur Atwood. And then, closer to home, consider this. In March 1981, when I was attending the seminary, I realized that the seminary was totally apostate in education, as well was Laodicean education. I realized I couldn't stay there. March 1981. I phoned the president of the Illinois Conference, the conference we're in, and told him that I was leaving the seminary because I couldn't stay there. It wasn't following Christian education. I thought he'd say, "You're fired." You know what he said to me? He said, "I was afraid you'd find that out. Our schools are under the control of Satan, and they have been since 1931 when we became accredited." I almost fell on the floor. He knew the truth. I came down to Illinois to work in Illinois in June of 1981, and I met President Everett Cumbo at the camp meeting in June 1981 at Broadview Academy at the information booth, as he requested. My wife and I talked to him for about 45 minutes. During those 45 minutes, he added to the things in education that we have discussed with you. He added to them. He was aware. All of a sudden, he said to me, "Come with me, Mike. I have to go over and open up the camp meeting in the auditorium." He said, "I'm glad you're out of that school at seminary. We can use you here in the work." He said, "You could have lost your soul if you stayed there." We walked over to the camp meeting ground, into the auditorium. I sat in the back of the row. He walked up to the front, and after prayer, he spread forth his arms and looked at the auditorium full of people, and he said, "Brothers and sisters, don't we have the finest Christian schools on the face of the earth? Dig down deep and sacrifice and send your children to the finest Christian schools, Broadview Academy like this one, Loma Linda, Andrews University, Walla Walla." And he went on. 5 minutes ago, he told me if you go to those schools, you could lose your soul. What he said in private was different than what he said in public. This has been my experience all too often. Consider what he said then on August 1982 at a workers' meeting, President Everett Cumbo. I was at a workers' meeting. Bill Lehman was the guest speaker. During the meetings one evening, there was discussion on education. All the ministers of Illinois were gathered in a room. There was great concern about the fact that our schools were in trouble. They couldn't afford, people couldn't afford to send their children to the schools, and the schools were in financial trouble. A discussion concerning education came up. For several years, I've been trying to get people to see the concepts of education and where we had departed. And all I was met with was threats. All of a sudden, George Lloyd, who was then the educational director of the Illinois Conference during this August 1982 workers' meeting, all of a sudden he burst out and he said, "The problem is we should have never got degrees." He was one of those that had been threatening me. All of a sudden he burst out and says, "We should have never got degrees." And Everett Cumbo, the president of the conference, said, "The problem is much deeper than that. We should have never been accredited." I almost fell in the floor. They knew all along. I thought that I should continue to talk about these things and share them even more now, because they knew all along, and now I knew they knew. The very next day I was called in by Elder Lloyd. And you know what he said to me? "If you continue to talk about education, you're going to lose your career." And he started threatening me again. Brothers and sisters, compromise? Do they know the truth and compromise? To this long list of people that we've studied, I want you to also add Ellen White, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The choice is ours. Are you willing to repent for the death of James White, the cover-up of education, and the cover-up of James White's death, and for the serious Jeremiah 36-like treatment of our testimonies, that God may restore his word just as he promised in Jeremiah 36, verse 32? Are you willing to repent that these sins, that this corporate sin, not be held against you? If please so, let's raise our hand. Let's kneel for prayer. Thank you. Father, we come before you at the conclusion of this study as we dug into the light of 1882 and education and the cover-up of the death of one of our strongest leaders, the first leader of our organized work. Lord, as we come before you, who are we? Such people have died and talked. Who are we? We pray that you will help us in our own individual life to follow you, that we might be able to still hold forth the voice like they held it forth. Help us, Lord, not to feel condemned when they say it's only our idea, but to remember the long list of our faithful brothers that have gone to their graves before us over these very ideas. And then we come before you with this sin, and we confess it, the sin of the death of James White, the gross sin of walking out after the world in every shape of form into Babylon for education, common sewers for drinking, Lord. Please forgive us. Forgive our fathers and fathers' fathers who led us down this path, and bring not the sin to remembrance against us in the books of life. We pray, Lord, that you take these things far from us, so that by the light of 1882, at least we don't be found wanting. Give us courage, Lord, not to seek a career here, but to seek a mission to accomplish your work. And help us to press together with you and with one another. We each value Christian brotherhood more than any words can tell, but we value you more, and we pray that you will help us, because the enemy wants us destroyed and silenced, Lord, and you know it. Help us, Lord, that man might not gain victory against your word. Help us to find the some who will repent and follow you even these days in Israel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.